everyone. I'm your host, Liana Pavane, founder of TTYL, Human Connection Advocate, Certified Life Coach, and most importantly, a human that's just trying to figure it out. I'm your unapologetic 20-something native New Yorker, advocating self-ships. Yes, I'm in a relationship with myself while navigating the dating world. I'm on a mission to break down dating stigmas in our society and to stop ghosting. I started this podcast after my ex broke up with me over the phone. I know, at least it wasn't a post-it. And I realized that our dating etiquette was severely lacking due to technology. Each week, I invite guests onto the podcast from all walks of life to discuss their first date horror stories and best dates. Because let's be honest, we don't focus on the positives enough when it comes to dating. The best part about this podcast is that after each episode, I've walked away feeling more confident about myself and my relationships. So whether or not you're single, in a relationship, or find yourself in a situationship, I welcome you to get comfy as I dive into the uncomfy so we can normalize it together. Do you want to feel magical every day? Now you can. When you adorn yourself with glitter from Unicorn Snot, you too can shine bright like a diamond. Add sparkle to your next night out, your first date, or just for yourself while you work from home because self-ships. Use code LIANA15UNICORNSNOT for 15% off their face and body products or their new Bio Glitter Sunscreen with 30 SPF so that you can literally shimmer in the sunshine. That's code LIANA15UNICORNSNOT at unicornsnot.com. Everyone, welcome back to another episode of Ghosts of Dates Past. I'm super excited about today's episode. I'm here with Erica and Molly, who are the co-hosts of the podcast Shooters Gotta Shoot. Hi, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. So yeah, do you guys want to do like mini intro so people know specifically individually who you guys are as well? I've met Erica, actually, funny enough, about a year and a half ago over in a meetup group. And then we spontaneously met up in the city. We were at the same speed dating event also months ago, maybe in September of last year or something like that. So that was, and we'll dive into our experience there and also just how we feel about speed dating in general. But yeah, go ahead and do some little intros.
Sure. So my name's Erica Spira. I'm a stand-up comedian in New York, and I'm one of the co-hosts of Shooters Gotta Shoot podcast. And I'm originally from upstate New York.
And I'm Molly DeMillier. I'm also originally from upstate New York, and I actually work for a podcast company. I do PR for advertising solutions and tech capabilities with a company called Acast.
Love it. Very cool. I actually didn't know that about you. Awesome. Well, I think, Molly, you're going to take over our first date horror story, so take it away.
Yeah, maybe my intro should have been I'm really bad at dating. But yeah, I guess I have more horror stories than good dates. And recently I went out with a guy on Hinge, and it was the day of the snowstorm. And I kind of just thought that like things would cancel because he was coming in from New Jersey. And he like sends me a voice message, which I hate, the day of, and was just like, "What up, girl? You got your snow boots on?" And I was like, "Well, I guess this is happening. Okay." And then right before I'm about to go, we were meeting on the Upper East Side. I live in Lower Manhattan, and he's coming from New Jersey. A terrible location for both of us to meet. And so he says that, like, the PATH train is shut down, so he's going to drive into the city during this, like, massive, I think they were calling it, like a bomb cyclone or something. Like, it was a really bad storm. And I was like, that is a terrible idea. There will not be parking. And he was like, yeah, no, I think it'll be fine. So I get to the restaurant where he said he had made a reservation. There was no reservation. I get there. They have no idea who I am or that I'm coming. And I'm just like covered in snow and freezing, and walk into this restaurant for brunch. And then I'm just like sitting. They give me a table somehow. And I'm just sitting there waiting for him to get there. And he's late into the city. And then he lets me know that there is no parking anywhere, which was like, I called that like an hour ago, but okay. And so then I'm waiting for like a good like 30, 40 minutes before he finally shows up. I was like, do I just leave? Like, are they going to kick me out? Like, it's brunch in Manhattan on a Saturday. Like, you can't just like sit there without ordering anything for that long. So he finally gets there, and things are actually like going pretty well. Like, the conversation is good. He's fun. But then he starts telling me about like how he started therapy, which was like, that's great. Like, we love a guy in therapy. And then he was like, no, actually what I mean by that is that like, I'm thinking about therapy, but I'm reading my horoscope. And I've really just like learned a lot about myself from my horoscope. And like, he thought that being on CoStar and reading CoStar every day was like just as good as going to therapy. And I was just like, you're not hot enough to say that to me. Like, I just, what? Yeah, so it kind of went downhill from there.
Yikes. Oh my gosh. Also, like, if it started snowing and someone was like, we're still doing our date, I would be like, I'm so sorry, but we're really not. We're just not. I'm fully in my sweatpants. I mean, I just wouldn't invite someone over for a first date, but I'd be like, we can have a Netflix party movie over FaceTime or something. Like, I don't know what you want from me, but the messy bun and the sweatpants aren't coming off, so.
Yeah, I think I was, like, still riding, like, the New Year's resolution wave to, like, get out there, like, go on more dates. You're really going to do it this year. And I was like, oh, this is why we don't.
For sure, for sure. I also, okay, thoughts on CoStar, because I still have the app on my phone and I also have Sanctuary. And I feel like the CoStar ones, I haven't turned off the notifications, but most of my notifications are off for everything. And the CoStar ones pop up on my phone every day. And they're really existential thoughts. You know, those prompts or those affirmations they give you every day. And it's like more than a fortune cookie would tell you on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just like.
Also, like, what's your sign?
I'm a Leo.
Okay. Because, like, I feel like they're really targeted at some signs. Like, my friend's a Capricorn. Her birthday is New Year's Eve day. Okay. And on that day, she gets a notification from CoStar that says, everything is terrible. Everything has been terrible. And everything will continue to be terrible. That was her horoscope on New Year's Eve and on her birthday. She was like, you guys know every detail about me. And this is what you choose to say to me on this day. Like, that's so messed up.
That's horrible. Yeah, it's just like, I don't understand who writes their stuff, but they got to change up their game a little bit. It's a little depressing over here.
Yeah, it's a little rough.
For sure. Well, thank you for sharing that story. I hope that horoscope man has actually started therapy. Good vibes for him. So I wanted to switch a little bit. I guess, yeah, speaking of dating, obviously, we're talking about dating. You guys talk about dating. And specifically about the dating apps. I'm back on them a little bit. So I wasn't really on them for 7-ish months since last August, I want to say. I just kept meeting people in person and it was super awesome. And I'm like riding this wave of in-person connection. Love it. Go back on the apps for a few weeks. Absolutely hate myself. It's just super, super depressing. Like, I just feel like it's kind of the, you know, when like you get matches and stuff or whatever, but like, it's not really a confidence boost. It's the opposite of a confidence boost being on the apps. It's like a confidence dumpster, honestly. That's how I feel about the dating apps now. And something that I've started doing is like, if the conversation isn't driving or they've like asked me something weird or I notice their location suddenly switches, you know, versus like from the day they were X miles away and then at night when they're actually back home and I didn't realize they lived in Hoboken, I will unmatch them. So what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think you're being a little rough on the Hoboken location unmatch. I think that's pretty tough. Because I've seen that more with Tinder. I feel like Tinder is the app that it's often people visiting for the weekend. And you'll see people pop up that it suddenly says like 800 miles away and you're like, who? And then you read their bio, you're like, oh, they don't live in New York. In general, I do unmatch people if like I'm not into it anymore to try to like keep my inbox clean. And that sounds mean, but specifically, I feel like I only do it if a guy is messaging me like super sexual out the gate and clearly just wants to hook up. I'm just like, nah, I don't have to chat with this man. I can just erase it, you know?
Yeah, I don't really unmatch. I go through phases with the apps. Like, I never am on them, like, too hard. So that might be why. I've been on them more sort of at, like, the start of this year. And I've had people, like, come out, like, super sexual. Like, I had a guy the other night. We were just, like, playing a game kind of, like, 20 questions. And you, like, pick the rating of the question. And we were like kind of getting up there and I picked an R, and then he was like, okay, when was the last time you had sex? Like, no judgment. I was like, that's a weird question. And also the answer was the day before. So I was like, I don't want to answer this. So, and then I just didn't reply. So I'm more of just like leave you on red. And then if they keep like popping up, I just like don't, I don't have notifications on though. So that's also why it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, I don't either. I think, yeah, I've definitely left a lot of people on red if the conversation just kind of dies off. And I also am kind of feeling that keep the inbox clean thing, because I have so many people down there and I just didn't respond to some of them, or conversation just died off. I just get so frustrated when someone likes, especially on Hinge, right? So someone likes you, you say, oh, cool, this guy looks cute or this girl looks cute, I'll match back with them. Great. You do, and then I say something. I like to look into the profile, find something unique to say, ask a question, and then their responses are just very bland, one answer or one sentence answers, not asking a question back. And I just go, why did you even match with me? Like, why? I also feel like Hinge provides more effort on a dating app. So why would you put in the effort to match with me and then expect me to respond and then not have anything to say? And then this dude specifically that I'm thinking of actually ended up unmatching me after I was the one asking questions. So I'm like, why are you here?
A great piece of advice I've found, and I think it was from Matthew Hussey. It was something about like, yeah, it's harder to connect on a dating app. And you might get a general question that's just like, hey, how's your week been? And he makes the point, he goes, but are you being boring back to that person? Don't just go, yeah, it's been great. How about yours? He's like, think of what was the highlight of your week? What was the highlight of your weekend? Reference something, give him a little something. But it's so frustrating whether you're either the one asking the question or the one answering, feeling like I'm putting in this effort. And then you get back just the like short, bland, boring. Like that was my frustration with Bumble. I was like, I feel like every man is on here almost punishing women for like, yeah, this is how you talk to us. You just give us these flat one word answers and don't really throw it back. So see how hard it is initiating. And I'm just like, I have no patience for it. I'll ask like three questions maybe. And if I keep getting that bland, you don't even ping it back to me, I'm like, yeah, just stop. Like, it's not worth your time.
I hate the ones that like, you can tell they're trying, but they just kind of suck. And you're like, this is like really good for you, but like, I'm over it. Like, I don't even want to ask questions of you anymore.
Totally. Yeah. No, it was funny also because I was at, do you guys know the Spaniard in the West Village?
Yeah. Great bar.
The bar. Yeah. Yeah. Super great bar. And I was there on last Thursday and I am so embarrassed at myself, but we're putting on the podcast, so everyone's going to know and make fun of me now. This guy turned to me and the first thing that popped out of my head was sup. And I felt like such a bro. And obviously the conversation completely did not go anywhere. And he was not interested in me because I kept just, it started from the bottom and it went straight down. And I was just at myself, literally punching a wall internally, what the fuck, Liana? Where did this sup come from? Like, who are you trying to be right now? And I don't know, maybe I was just using the dating apps too much and just couldn't come up with anything clever in the moment. But it's okay because guy number two that I approached, it was fine. I think I was just very flustered because he turned very abruptly to me. And it was just kind of like a swoop around and he looked right at me and I just couldn't think of anything else to say. But why? So, like, I could have just said, hey, no, sup. That's what I went with. Yep, for sure.
You live and you learn. You got him on the second try, though.
Exactly. Yeah. It's probably, I don't even remember what I said to that dude. But he ended up being super sexual as well. And I was disappointed. And yeah, it's interesting meeting people out. I think what I look for on a dating app is so different sometimes than what I look for in person. I feel like I am more prone to, I don't know. I mean, physical is important on both. But I like reading people's prompts and learning about personality. What are the first things that you guys notice on dating apps versus in person?
I would say on apps, I get more superficial and I go more for looks. Like, I'm one of those, like, I'm kind of like a fuckboy and, like, I don't really read them that often. And then I look back through after a match and I'm like, oh, wait, I hate this person. But like in person, I connect more with personality. So like looks are not really like the first thing that I'm really looking for. So maybe that's also why I'm failing. I don't have a clear strategy.
I don't think anyone does.
I've been doing like a fun game on my Instagram that I'm sharing people's dating app bios or answers to the Hinge questions. And it has trained my brain and my eye to look at the answers more first. So unless someone has like a very, I don't know, eye-catching first photo, whether it be eye-catching of good-looking or eye-catching of like, this seems creepy as hell, I kind of have trained my eye to just look at the answers first. And it's so funny, though, that especially with like the Hinge roses, it's just the algorithm of the people that get the most likes, right? So it's typically just the more attractive people, right? Like they're always tall, beautiful men with like great jobs. And it's funny that looking through it, though, I'll read the answers first and I'll be like, this guy sucks. And then I'll see the pictures and I'm like, yeah, I would have swiped right if I just focused on the pictures. But that being said, it's like, yeah, in both cases, I feel like on dating apps, you don't know their personality till there's a chat happening. And then same in real life, I've hit on plenty of beautiful looking men and then I talk to them and I'm like, yeah, never mind.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I feel like for both, physical is obviously important, but we put so much more emphasis on the physical when it's virtual because it's just so easy, right? We don't have to put in effort to read anything. If we don't want to, we can look at their first photo and just go, okay, swipe right, cool, fun, done. And so often even I've looked at someone's first picture and then scrolled down and then the other pictures really don't look the same as that one, or it's their cat as the last photo or something random. And I just go, why? Or their face on like Patrick Starr or something. I've seen weird stuff on the dating apps. I'm like, why are people Photoshopped? Like, this is not, I don't get it. But I did that actually, I think it was last week. I don't even know. Time is but a construct. But last week or a couple weeks ago, I had screenshotted so many at this point. So I put them up on my personal Instagram as well. And one of the ones that I kept seeing was, for your string cheese, do you pull it apart or do you bite it first? And I saw it on Bumble and Hinge in the same night. And I'm like, is this a trend or something? Like, why?
I remember that question in like middle school, a part of stuff. Like, I feel like it was like a MySpace thing. I don't know. Like, I've heard that question like a weird context before. And I'm like, it's string cheese. Obviously, you pull it. Like, come on, people. Follow direction. Otherwise, it would just be cheese.
Yeah. It's called a string for a reason. Yeah, for sure.
I feel like it's always a lot of food ones. The either or, like, let's debate this topic. It's like flats or drums, like, because it's just such an easy, fun thing. And like, it's something that people are passionate about, but it's not in the way that we're passionate about politics, where it's like, oh, if we actually disagree on this, it's going to be like a heated argument, where it's like, oh, we can have a fun little argument. Because I think a lot of men find a little argument like that to be flirting. And like, that's banter to them. It's like, ooh, yeah, disagree with me a little. But like, they never want you to disagree with them on something that like, you know, is more like factual information. Yeah, or like really matters. Like, nobody wants that. That's not fun.
Yeah, like is a hot dog a sandwich? I see that one all the time. It's like, it's stupid. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we should start a Reddit thread, because mostly men are on Reddit, of like, these are your common answers. Like, be original.
Right. Be better. Do better, please. The bar is the floor. Yeah, and I also feel like it was interesting, actually. I was at lunch with my guy friend last week, and we talk about dating apps all the time. And he was saying, he gave some really good advice, actually. He said, to get a lot more matches or engagement, your prompts are really important, but put in as much about you in each prompt. So like, for example, the one on Hinge that's like your typical Sunday, you could go, okay, brunch with my girlfriends, you know, a workout class at, you know, 305 Fitness, like going running errands or like meal prepping for the week and taking an edible or something. And then it's like, okay, you're hitting like so many different parts of yourself that it kind of gives the person different directions. So if you're not into food, like, well, who wouldn't be? But like, if you're not into brunching, great, you have like three other options to choose from, kind of thing. And then it's like, oh, if you don't smoke, like you can still comment on, you know, working out or something. So I kind of like that. And I was thinking like, ooh, I might try and like change mine up too. And I also feel like refreshing your content. Like I recently just added some new photos and like did a little refresh. I was like, okay, some of these are literally like 2 years old. 3 years old. Like, we need to put some new content in there. But yeah, I mean, no one really knows exactly. Like, there's no correct way. I feel like it's just being yourself and like putting your best foot forward and showcasing as many parts of yourself as you can fit in, you know, 6 photos and 3 prompts or whatever it is.
Yeah, as specific as you can is always great. Like, even with brunch, I'd be like, no, put your usual brunch order. And, or even like with grocery shopping, be like, no, be like Trader Joe's, like I'm a Trader Joe's gal. And like you said, though, it's always great of, I always pick one of those questions that I can list like 3 things. And I picked the one that was like, this year I really look or really want to or really looking forward to. And I put like 3 totally different categories of just like, here's a concert I want to go see. Here's I want to go skiing. And I forget the other one I put. And I'm visiting Barcelona this summer. So I'm like, Barcelona. So it's like, there's 3 topics. Like, there's 3, 1 answer, you know, because then you can be a little like flirty and fun in another answer. But I agree. Yeah.
I like a good, like, quirky answer too. Like, how would you respond if I said, or whatever the prompt is. And I have, I'm allergic to Christmas trees and grew up on an old Christmas tree farm. And that gets a ton of responses because people are like, obviously people want to know about that. So just like something to make you like stand out.
That is a really good one. I love that. Totally. Yeah, definitely. It's a needle in the haystack. I mean, that's really essentially what a dating app is. And then flipping to in person more, the speed dating aspects. So Molly, have you been to a speed dating event as well?
I have not, but I've definitely heard about them.
Okay. I'm sure Erica filled you in on our experience. So yeah, we both ended up at the speed dating event. And I don't know about you, it was my first one. So I kind of assumed it was going to be like that. But yeah, you want to give your 2 cents on what you thought?
Well, first, the hesitancy I had to ever do a speed dating event literally was like, what if you see people you know? And you have that gut feeling, and I walk in, I'm standing there, and you walked in, and I was like, oh, hilarious. I knew, like, I just felt it of like, you're going to see someone you know. But I think you're more worried of seeing someone you know that's like the whatever gender that you date kind of situation. So I think it's tough because it's something that with a lot of dating things you look at and you go, okay, well, people that do that are like desperate, right? Or you feel desperate going to it. Even though once I went to it, and I mean, I found the event to be pretty great, especially with just like efficiency. It's like, I got dressed up. I got to meet 8 people. Like, hey, if I have a connection with one, great. If I don't, great. It was like 8 chances at meeting someone that maybe I'd want to go on a date with. And it was almost like, with first dates, a lot of times it's like, yeah, I kind of only need like 15 minutes to be like, okay, what's this vibe? Am I feeling this? Do I feel like there's some compatibility, attraction, whatever it is? That I feel like 15 minutes is very telling of like, do I want to keep talking to this person or am I good, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I mean, sometimes I can tell in like 5 minutes or less. It's crazy. I mean, I think there's studies that show that women really don't need, we need something crazy, like only a few seconds to know if we're interested in someone or not. And I definitely find that to be true, but I'm always open-minded. And like, you know, I went on a date last week. I was like, it was kind of just like, okay, like go out, go on a date kind of thing. Met him and could pretty early on tell that I wasn't romantically attracted, but I was there and he was nice. And I wanted to talk to someone and, you know, I live alone. So it's like nice to meet people and just have a connection. And so I did. And, you know, he was interested in seeing me again. I told him I wasn't interested, but it was still a nice time. And I didn't regret the conversation or meeting someone new at the end of the day. But I think, I mean, I definitely did things when I was younger where I would get super uncomfortable or just wasn't able to kind of hold my own if I wasn't interested in someone. I mean, I definitely like left dates early or just, you know, did things that probably weren't that nice at points in my life, but lesson learned. And, you know, just kind of see every experience as a new opportunity to make a new connection. Because, yeah, I mean, everyone, like the other person is feeling nervous too. It's like being compassionate for that as well.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what you're doing, if you're doing like a speed dating event or an app, it's like the point is to just meet people. So it's like, yeah, all you can do is meet people and see. It's just more frustrating with like an app because it's the first time you're ever meeting them. Like that, I feel like that's why people are like, oh, I'd prefer to meet in person. It's like, well, the time you meet someone in person and then like go on a date, it's like the first meeting is probably maximum 15 minutes. Probably not. It's usually just a few minutes where you're just like, oh, I'm feeling a vibe. I would like to go on a date with them. But it's like the app kind of takes away that part. So that's why it's harder or like more frustrating, is you are going into dates like a little bit more blind in that way.
Totally. I mean, I think that's something that I did appreciate about the speed dating event. I mean, for me, it was a bit older crowd for me personally. So I kind of knew going in that I wouldn't find anyone specifically romantically. And I felt like it was too structured for me. I like a more fluid vibe, but I like the way that speed dating events, you know, if you are attracted to someone else and you know that you're going to get the opportunity to talk to them and you won't be stuck talking to someone or not, especially for people who aren't comfortable walking away or saying no, that it forces you up and away from that conversation. But I will say afterwards, and it was when Erica at the end, you were talking to this guy who was super sweet and nice, and I didn't talk to him in the speed dating round, but another guy came up that didn't talk to me either. And he started going off and he said something about my body. And I got really, yeah, it was bad, Molly. I got really offended. And I was like, yeah, you really shouldn't say anything about a woman's body, like blah, blah, blah. And oh, yeah. And he just starts stumbling over his words, like trying to make up for the fact. And he was like, my sister, like they're bigger, but, and like, it's so great that they work in a department store where they represent their body types in these mannequins. And I don't even know what he was saying. He was spitballing. He was trying so hard and he's going off for like, he's just rambling so fast. I could not get a word in for over a minute. And I finally just went, it was really nice to meet you.
Oh God.
And just walked away mid sentence because there is no going back. And he fucked up. He completely fucked up.
I was going to say, Molly and I debated, like, in terms of, like, dating events, like, what would you prefer? And if you had to go between, like, a mixer that is just, like, a big group of people in a bar versus, like, speed dating where they do pair you and you, like, essentially get to talk to everyone, personally, I would prefer the speed dating route. Because I feel like in a bar and, like, this just big mix, and I've known people that throw these, it feels, first of all, very competitive, right? And then we're back to kind of a lot of times typical gender roles of feeling this like, okay, should they approach me? Should I approach them? Do I look like this aggressive woman compared to all these other women? Of like, I would be more anxious in the situation of just we're all standing around and I would feel way more pressure of like my appearance. Of like, okay, well, I'm in a room full of a bunch of other attractive women. And essentially if I, quote, am not as attractive as them, then like I might go to that mixer and not talk to anyone. That's me. I don't forget what you said, Molly, but I was like, I kind of prefer the like, yeah, we're going to make you talk to everyone. And I don't know, more organized, I guess.
Yeah. And I think like once you get to that point where like, okay, I'm really ready to find someone and be in a relationship, it's nice being in situations where you know that's what someone else wants too. Because like modern dating is just so, I kind of feels like such a roundabout sometimes if you're like, okay, why are we going on this date? Like, you don't want to see anyone. Like, you're bored, and I'm filling this void for you, and that's not fair for me, because, like, I'm here because I want to date someone. And, like, it feels like that shouldn't have to be communicated, but, like, it does these days in modern dating, and I feel like a speed dating event kind of takes some of that away, of, like, people are there because they genuinely want to meet someone, which I like the idea of that aspect of it.
Yeah. I think that's a good point, too. Well, it's funny because I've also, on the flip side, gone to these mixers through that app Thursday, and I've gone to three of them now, and every single time, I absolutely hate it. There's no structure at all, first of all, and I think that having structure in any event is important, and it feels like I'm walking into an in-person dating app. It's as if Bumble came to life. Everyone is looking around, swiping their head left and right, you know, doing the whole story. I mean, it's like going to any normal bar too, but even more elevated because you know everyone is single. And so and every time there's just been an issue with the ambiance and the environment. So one time the music was super loud and the space was super cramped and there were so many people. And then another time there was like no one there. And then another time the line for the drinks was 20 minutes long and it wasn't moving and the music was equally as loud. So it's like, I think it's a really cool concept, you know, like having these singles events every Thursday and, gets people off that dating app. It kind of creates this community, but without structure and without control of your environment, it's really just a dicey situation. And also, I think personally, creating a free event, while in theory sounds cool, does invite a different type of crowd.
I went to one of their events for the first time like a week ago. I don't know if you know Finding Mr. Height. She reached out. She's like, I'm going to this, but I want some friends to come. Because it was like, hey, if it sucks, we'll go somewhere else. Yeah. And same thing of we just were like, it was packed. It took forever to get a drink. And there was no sense of an icebreaker, like, at all. That you're like, okay, this is just like I walked into a crowded bar. And, yeah, you feel this, like, okay, nobody seems to really be talking to each other. Everyone's in their own group situation. But it's like, I like the concept. You know, or it makes it easy if you just go, I'm going to keep my Thursday nights open and I'm always going to go where this app tells me to go and I know there'll be single people. It's like, okay, you know, better than my Thursday night workout class. It's a bunch of women, you know.
For sure. And some gay men too. So Erica, let's hear your best first date story or a good date that you've had.
Oh, man. Is it sad? I'm like, this is so sad to say, but I feel like none stick out hugely in terms of like what we did. I kind of like, and this I feel like became a trend with COVID, that I had a couple dates where it was like, hey, let's meet at this spot and like you go for like a 15-minute walk before like going somewhere and sitting down and having a drink or having like some food or something. Like I did one that was a coffee when everything was like shut down of we just like, I got a tea and we just like walked around for like 15 minutes and it weirdly, they've done studies of like moving around or doing some type of activity makes it easier to like talk to people and open up to people, but also not facing someone directly, especially in terms of attraction. Because like most dates, you go to a bar or whatever and you sit right across from them and it's like you're just staring right at their face. And it's easier to be more hypocritical of what someone looks like or, you know, more likely to be like, well, I just wasn't physically attracted. So that's a trend that I like that I've keep finding more and more people do. It's harder in the winter, but kind of this like, oh, let's meet here, kind of walk through this little park or something, and then we'll get to the destination that we were going to go.
I like that too. Yeah, those types of dates are always really nice, like kind of wandering or, yeah, doing some sort of activity or something spontaneous. I much prefer those over the classic drinks. I mean, drinks are nice and drinks are, it was funny, actually, I've mentioned this to my mom so many times because I've gone on a lot of first dates or second dates and things like that. And it's always, a lot of times it is a drink situation, either because, you know, we're both super busy and like, it's the only time we can kind of meet up. Like you're missing that peak hour to go to a comedy show at 8:00 or, you know, it's like we meet up at 8:39 or something like that. And every time she's just like, you guys are just going for drinks? There's no dinner involved? There's no food? That's so, what? He's not taking you out to dinner? I'm like, Mom, it's like a first, second date. Like, I'm not, she's like, oh, every first, second date was dinner, okay? Like, it's so true because it's like, and I've had guys who've done that for sure, but it's always when, I don't know, maybe that's more indicative to they're looking for something serious. I feel like dinner is very, it's a formal thing, right? Versus, okay, drinks, like, okay, fine, I, you know, dropped $100 on drinks for this girl, like, you know, whatever. And it's much more casual and it's not this whole sit down thing. And we can just get up and leave versus like sitting there and waiting for the food and like being in this different environment versus more of like a crowded, fun bar, like lighting, ambiance sort of situation. I don't know. Maybe there's something there.
I feel like dinner is just such a commitment. Like, if you're not feeling it, I don't want to sit through apps and a full meal. Like, I would rather just get out of there. So I usually, like, if someone asks me for that on a first date, I don't do it.
Especially from an app. Like, we haven't met yet. That's really when it's, like, feels weird. But I understand if your mom said that, if it was, like, someone that knew you for a long time and then asked you out and just was like, yeah, let's just get a coffee. I would feel a little like, you know, do you think it would be that bad to hang out with me for, you know, a longer amount of time or whatever? Yeah, I like a dessert date if you're trying to switch it up from drinks. And I've done that with people that don't drink at all because it does feel weird to be like, okay, well, why are we going for just drinks and you're going to have like a seltzer situation? But it's just nice because it's like, it's quick. It's something quick. And when you live in a city like New York, there's plenty of like cool, different dessert places. It's like, oh, there's this new one. or that have like seating that you could sit down and just like, you know, have a cookie or whatever it is. You know?
Totally. And like I've done, go to a comedy show and then get an ice cream, because if you're going to an activity like that, you know, I think it's fun to go to a comedy show with someone because it shows someone's sense of humor. And you can both have, you know, it's loose and you open up and stuff, and either meet up beforehand and grab like a quick pizza or, you know, a drink or something, and then go to the comedy show. You're going to get a few drinks there anyway, so probably don't get drinks before. And then say, you know, going for ice cream after, kind of to break the ice, so to speak. Haha, pun intended. But also just, you know, it's like super, it's always fun to get a little ice cream cone or cup or something. And just that gives you the opportunity to chat without the pressure of like, oh, we're going to another bar, because you kind of already did that. And then you can be in like a different environment. Yeah. So I agree. I like that.
The tricky part with drinks too is like, I'm a drinker. So like all, I can like drink a lot with a guy, and then I kind of lose track of how fun it actually is, because like I can sit in a room by myself and get hammered and have a blast. Like, not gonna do it, but I have a hard time gauging of like who was actually fun. Like, did I just like bring a good time, or is he really that cool? So then you get to the second date and you're like, well, this is kind of a bust. Like, we need to do shots again. Like,
totally. Yeah. No, that's a good point. I definitely feel like, and I've dated a lot of guys who are into drinking. I remember this one guy I dated years ago, and every time we hung out, he drank so much, and I would get drunk every time. And it got to a point where I was kind of like, this doesn't feel like right or good all the time. You know, I mean, I love a drink, you know, I don't typically drink by myself. I'm much more like, I'd much more take an edible or something like that. It's kind of like a wind down, but I much prefer to be social and drink and all that stuff. But like every time you're going on a date with someone, it's kind of just like, it can be a lot. And then it's like, okay, why do we always have to drink when we get together, right? Like, that's also another conversation as well. Well, I was listening to one of your recent episodes, and you brought on a guest who wrote this article about the 10 different types of guys. And I also, my mom had sent me a similar article a while ago. And so I wanted to delve into it a little bit and hear, I don't know if you guys remember everything about the article. I don't remember every type of guy, but it touched on a lot of different things. Have you guys noticed that you've dated these people, and what are like the most types or the guys that you've dated the most, like what is their type, I guess, within the article?
For me, I'd say probably the emotionally unavailable / there was another one called the commitment phobe. And with both of those, I feel like the definitions the article gave, there's like several different levels to it. Like, emotionally unavailable guy when I was young would be the guy that goes, yeah, I just don't really want a relationship right now. And you don't know that that means with you. Like, yeah, he's just works really busy. Like, you believe it. But that's essentially someone that's just nice and doesn't want to, like, let you down hard. They're trying to, like, let you down easy. But then as I've gotten older, then it's the thing of, like, you're seeing someone, you're not seeing other people. That's mentioned between you. But then, like, you never get girlfriend title. So I feel like that's been my most common one, because I feel like that's the hardest part for me personally with dating, is, like, the period that is, like, I'm into this person. They're clearly into me. We're consistently going out. I'm not interested in other people. And it's like, how do I get to that next phase? I feel like that's always the trap I'm kind of in personally.
Yeah. And I think I've just mostly been like the Mr. emotionally unavailable kind of guy, but more so of like feeling like this is the guy who wants you around, but like doesn't want to actually like fully have you, but like they don't want to not have you either. So you're just like kind of in this like yo-yo of waiting for them to decide that they want you, which is just like a really terrible place of self-worth to be. It can make you feel a lot more terrible about yourself. So yeah, I've had quite a few of those, but I recently told off one of them and felt pretty good about it. So, you know, progress as we're nearing 30.
That's the worst. They just do enough to keep you around. It's like the minute it dips.
Yeah. And it's always on their turn.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. I've definitely started calling out guys in that way. Like, so I met this guy in person, and we were talking for about 2.5 months, and he was traveling a bunch, but we were texting every day, and he was traveling when he was traveling, he was texting me when he was in Colombia, like all these places. And, you know, it like kind of started veering off a little bit, but we did hang out. We hung out only a handful of times because of his schedule. And like, it was around the holidays too. So like, worst time of year ever. But I'm thinking like, okay, new year, like it's gonna, you know, he'll be less busy and like, we'll make more effort. And like, every time we hung out, it was great. Like, he texted me afterwards. He had a great time. We should do it again. Like, totally like giving me the signals, like, I'm interested in you. This is going somewhere, blah, blah, blah. And totally consistent. But I was so confused because then we hung out and he was like, oh, I'm actually traveling or I'm going here and like, I'm not free and blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, what is happening? Like, what's going on? So I called him and I said, hey, I'm getting mixed signals. Like, what is happening? And I listed, I came prepared with like three, I always do this, like the three things that you're doing that make me confused. Explain. So I was like, you text me every day. I feel like I'm initiating the hangouts, but you always say you want to hang out again and you'll let me know when you're free. And then when we do hang out, it's like later at night after you have dinner with someone kind of thing. And he was basically like, you know, I'm just super busy. I have been in, you know, I was in a really long relationship that I got out of. I'm not saying I'm going around and hooking up with all these people, but I'm in a place where I'm really prioritizing my career and travel. And I was like, okay, fair. And he's like, cool. Like, I'm fine doing like this kind of fluid thing. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't text my casual fluid hangouts every day. And my one ask is that you let me know when you're free. And when we hang out, it's not a 9-10 p.m. situation. I am your plan for the night. And yeah, I'm going to date other people, just so you know. And I just like laid it on the table for him. And has he contacted me? Of course not. Because why would he? He probably just goes, oh, okay, she's not on that page. And it's like, no, honey, the page that you presented was completely jumbled. So we need to clear that out, edit that, you know, grammatically dot our T's and, or dot our I's and cross our T's and like figure out what that page actually reads as. It's like, for me, I think what I've realized is I'm an overthinker, but I need to have that conversation of like, what are you looking for early on? Because once I can compartmentalize it as casual or this can be something more, I'm fine. But if I don't know, like that in between drives me absolutely insane.
Yeah, the uncertainty is always uncomfortable. And I really love how you like spelled out exactly what you needed from him. Like, that's what I did to this guy. And it feels so empowering. Like, I said to him, I was like, I really do want a relationship. And I understand that you don't want that right now. And like, I've let myself get in this place of just fun girl with you. And like, I've definitely like been proactive in a bit of that, like fed into it. I was like, I acknowledge that 100%. I was like, but I want to be with someone who really wants to be with me. And like, this isn't going to work. And like, we stopped talking to each other, but like, it's probably one of the best I've ever felt ending something of just like, okay, like I stood my ground and I said what I really wanted. And like, I don't feel like I left anything on the table. And like, we didn't have like a fight or anything like that. It was just like, this is what I need. And you're not going to give it to me. Like, you give them the opportunity and they can walk if they want to walk.
Good for you. That's awesome. Yeah. It feels so good for sure. And I think that's something I've been thinking about too, is this concept of, are you really needy or is needy just secure? Because you're just confident enough to say what you need, right? I feel like, I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think on that?
I mean, I think needy absolutely exists, but I think secure and women who ask for what they want in any factor of their life are going to get like some sort of stigma of being like needy or a bitch or like too demanding or whatever. Like, there's going to be some negative connotation. But I think the right people, like, if you truly are just like setting boundaries and being self-aware and asking for what you want, I think the right people are going to recognize that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very anti-games, that it's like, you can't be mad that someone didn't do what you wanted them to do when you didn't tell them at all what you wanted. And it can be from small stuff like Valentine's Day or your birthday, things that it's like, yeah, unless you kind of vocalize it, you can't like be mad. Like, I guess you can be mad if you're like dating someone, you're sitting there being like, okay, I hope they do something for Valentine's Day. But then when they don't, it's like, okay, how do you handle that? And it's, you have to approach it and just go, hey, yeah, I was disappointed that you didn't do anything for Valentine's Day. Like, I really like you. I got you something or whatever it is. And it's like, you have to have those conversations, but they're the scariest and hardest conversations to have because essentially when you finally speak up for what you want, then if you don't get it, it's like the correct thing to do is be like, kid, this isn't working, or I'm going to leave. This isn't the relationship for me. And so we've all had that looming conversation before where we're then like, okay, well, I'm putting this off because if it doesn't go the way I want, then the relationship is over situation. But yeah, it's like, I agree with Molly of like, yeah, needy definitely does exist, where there are some people, men, women, whoever, that are way too needy and need, you know, too much of whatever. But then a lot of stuff you read, like attached, is very like, nah, it's just what you need. So you just have to find someone that is going to give you what you need. And some people that is like texting them a lot, and other people it's more physical affection or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, Erica, because like there are people who like giving to people who want a lot. And like, I think we discussed this in our episode of like the 10 different types of guys, of like there are constructs where like that really works and it's not as toxic as it sounds on the surface, of like when people who's like love language is like giving things to people, and then there's others who like kind of need to receive gifts, and like that's why these different types exist.
Yeah, I think it was like the pushover type we referred to. Of it was basically saying this man has like no self-esteem. And we were like, no, I know women that are more pushovers and more, I don't even see them as pushovers. It's just like people that are more go with the flow and they have very high anxiety tend to be like, I like that the other person makes decisions and I just go along with it. And I know especially a lot of men that would quote be labeled as a pushover, but they're like, I just want my girl to be happy and I don't care where we go to eat. So just pick a place, tell me what shirt to wear and I'm there. You know, so it's like, but if that works for you, that works for you. The same as like other people are naturally more in charge types and they don't want to date someone that they're constantly both fighting to be in charge. Like it often doesn't work. It's like it's almost like your side of the bed is also kind of the like, who's usually the one just driving the car? And I've seen plenty of relationships where it's the wife that's always driving and, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, yeah, I feel like there's a difference between the alpha beta dynamic, like what you're talking about, versus the person who has absolutely no opinions. Because I know people like that and I have friends like that and I try so hard to pin it back on them. I really care. No, I really care what you want to eat tonight. And something I've started practicing with those friends is saying something like, okay, well, if you had to choose between the margarita or the pepperoni, which one would make you feel gross if you took a bite? And that usually gets an answer out of them. But it's, I want to help them practice having an opinion because their opinion does matter versus people who are just totally fine with being passive because they're happy either way. They're literally just happy-go-lucky people. I have plenty of people like that in my life, but they're still confident in other areas and can make decisions. But when it comes to their relationships, they're totally fine with taking a backseat.
Oh, yeah. And as every relationship goes on, it's like the quote alpha beta or quote masculine feminine energies all become intertwined and shift. Like it's like even the classic example of like, OK, if the male of the relationship is the breadwinner and makes the money, a lot of times in those households, the female is still the one that does all the bills and the paperwork. So it's like, yeah, technically you bring the money in, but the person that organizes all of it is your partner. Like, you know what I mean? So it's this thing that's just like, yeah, you're both involved in the money part. Like, it's not that only one person is involved in it, you know? And that's with most things. Just like, yeah, it switches. It's got to switch sometimes, you know?
I agree. Yeah. And so the last question before we kind of wrap up, I want to do bring to the table this shoot your shot concept because your podcast is called Shooters Gotta Shoot. So can you each give a brief example of a time when you shot your shot and what happened?
I got a recent one. I was really drunk, and I was at the bar around the corner where I'm, like, tight with the bartender, so I, like, wasn't really paying attention. I'm, like, talking to the bartender, and I see this really hot guy, like, out of the corner of my eye, and so I get, like, distracted because I'm, like, kind of drunk, and I look at him, and I see that he has, like, turned to look at me, but, like, he has his coat on, and he's walking out the door, and so I just keep looking at him because, like, my brain is like a step behind. And so he like turns around and keeps walking and then stops and looks back at me again. And so I like, I fuck him, you know? And so then he gives it back to me and we're like, I wish it's one of those things that like the day that I die, I hope that like I get to watch this in replay of like, we're both just hammers staring at each other in the bar, but like, we think there's something going on. And so his friend was also like ahead of him and just is out the door and he's got like his Uber up on his phone. And I was like, where are you going? And he was like my Uber's here. And my friend comes up and it's just like out of nowhere, just like right on my shoulder, just looking. And we're both just like staring at his Uber app of like, the car is here. And she was like, yeah, I don't think you're going to take that. And she's like, cancel it. And like, it's hitting cancel on his phone. And then he was like, do I cancel this car? And I was like, yeah, you should cancel that car. And he canceled his car. And then we started talking at the bar and making out. And now he keeps texting me a lot. So yeah, but he's really hot.
I love it. Good for you, girl. Hell yeah. I love that.
Get him to cancel the Uber.
Shooter's got to shoot, you know?
Forget to text him for a couple days. Yeah, keep them wanting more.
That's how you lock them in. Do you have a story, Erica?
The reason one I had actually was, it was that night I went to that mixer through that Thursday app that we migrated to just a different bar, little group of us. And there was this like group of dudes hanging out, having fun, but like such a large group. And I was like, I don't have it in me to just approach the giant group by myself. Also, because I'm here with a group having a good time. But there was one person that caught my eye and you'd catch eyes for like a second. And you're like, okay. But I just kept eyes on the group and I was like, okay, I'll wait till they maybe like extract from the group. But their extraction from the group, funny, similar to Molly, was leaving. But a lot of times I'm like, that's actually kind of the perfect time because if you get rejected, they already were leaving. Like, they're already on their way out the door, you know? So I followed, I saw him and I just was like, oh, I'll be right back to my crew. Followed him and then he actually was outside and I just stepped outside real quick and I just go, hey. And so like, you're something. I was like, yeah, sometimes you just go, hey. Like, I said it kind of loud, so he turned and he turned, he's like, hey. I was like, where are you going? And he walked back over and he was like, oh, I was gonna head home. He's like, I have, you know, work early in the morning or something. And I just was like, oh, I was like, okay. I was like, well, I was like, I saw you in the bar, I thought you were really cute, so I just wanted to say hi. And he was like, hi. He was like, I think you're really cute too. I was like, cool. I was like, you want my number? Like, I just made a move. I was like, all right, give me your phone, I'll give you my number. And then as I'm giving him his number, I like, we just chatted a little bit of like, oh, da da da, what do you do for work? Where do you live? Blah, blah, blah. He's like, where do you live? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was just like, all right. I was like, well, there's my number. I was like, yeah, hit me up. Let's go drink sometime. And he gave me a hug goodbye and then left. But it was like, sometimes it's the perfect, just like, yeah, you just need a minute. You just need a quick minute. And also, it's like, yeah, if I never hear from you again, I don't care. I don't feel embarrassed. Nobody was around. Like, so I guess the moral of the story is catch them when they're getting their Uber, you know? It seems to be the time to shine, you know?
sounds like it. Wow, that's great. I love those. Amazing. Well, yeah, thanks so much for chatting with me. I just have a couple rapid fire questions that you both can answer and then we'll close out where everyone can find you. So the first is, how do you guys get excited for a date?
Music for me.
Yeah, I would say some of my best dates though, where I walked in like really energized, I watch a comedy special as I'm doing my makeup.
I love that. That's a new one. I like it. And
yeah, my ex, Louis C.K., he got me in a relationship. So that's ironic.
Yeah, Ali Wong's got a new special out. Throw her on.
Yeah, there we go.
I love it. Amazing. And what is your guys' ideal date?
I would say drinks. I don't want anything too over the top. I also love a good cocktail. Like I said before, I'm a drinker, so let's throw a nice view in there, you know, aesthetics.
This might be too vague to say. I like a little bit of an activity. I have a friend who just coincidentally keeps getting asked to go to Barcade, which is the bar that has arcade games. Like, I'm like, you got a type, girl. I don't know what it is, but you got one. But that to me is fun of it just, yeah, mixes up the having to like just sit the whole time and you're like moving around a little bit more. So I like some type of activity with my hands, because I think in general, I talk with my hands a lot. I'm very like fidgety with my hands. So I think that makes me calm and comfortable. It's like, even if it's just playing a dumb arcade game while I'm talking to somebody.
I love that. Yeah. Arcade, Barcade. I like the one in, I don't know, is the one in Midtown or like Midtown West still there? Because that location.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that one's way better than the East Village one. For
yeah, that sure. Or like, yeah, mini golf, something. Something where I can like move a little bit. I usually like.
Yes, I agree. I love that. So where can everyone find you?
I'm on all social media at @theguaca_Molly.
And I'm at Sparica with 2 A's. And our podcast is at Shooters Gotta Shoot Pod. So thank you for having us.
Thank you guys so much for being here and sharing your stories and insights into dating. Hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thanks again.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode or this podcast in general, I would greatly appreciate it if you could subscribe, rate, and review below. And if you can think of anyone who would enjoy this podcast, please consider sharing it. As a new podcast, the most helpful thing is to grow by word of mouth. After all, who doesn't enjoy a good date story? Lastly, if you would like to connect with me, please follow me on Instagram at ghosts_ofdatespast. And feel free to shoot me a DM if you have a comment, question, or would like to be a guest. I'm always looking for new people to bring onto the show. Hope you all have lovely weeks, and I'll be back next week for another juicy episode. Bye for now.